I'm sure you've heard in the news recently that several Australian organisations, including governments and businesses, were targeted by a foreign state-based hacker. And there's nothing new about hacking, but as technology improves at lightning speeds, what are the real threats posed by hacking in today's society and the not-too-distant future? Our resident futurist Steve Sammartino says you should be concerned, and he has good reason. He says you and I, as in humans, are merging with machines, which ultimately will make us hackable. Yep, we need to know more. Steve Sammartino, good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
How are we merging with robots?
Well, it's been a path for a really long time. Let's just look at the first ever computers we can see on historical TV shows. They're as big as a room, could do less than a pocket calculator. Right? Then they got a little bit smaller and they appeared on the desks. Then we had a laptop that was small enough to carry around. And then we had a smartphone that just slipped into our pockets. And then we've got wireless earphones. The trajectory is clear. They're getting smaller and thinner and closer to our bodies. That they're a way of us evolving outside of our bodies to cope with a world that is changing so quick. Mm. Humans are so clever, we have worked out a way to change our physical disposition outside of our bodies before the technology enters it. And if we think about some of the medical things that we've seen already, cochlear implants, we've seen pacemakers, all manner of things that be inserted into our skin, even microchips to open doors and turn on computers with radio frequency identifiers, it's only a matter of time before there is no smartphone. We have brain-machine interfaces.
A lot of those are great advances, right? Especially some of those medical ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what happens is that you get all these advances in different areas. And we saw that with the smartphone, right? You had computer, photography, GPSs, all of these things were separate devices. And then they all got put together into one device and changed the world. So what we have now is medical devices, biology, and information technology all coming together. Mm. We can even see it with the ability to 3D print biometric elements, within the human, where we can take a small part of a human cell or skin and then print organs and those types of things. So what we're on is this clear path where we're using technology to enhance ourselves as a species. And eventually the technology won't be something we go to and touch. It'll be inside us. We'll be able to make a phone call just by thinking about it and talk to the other person. And this is not science fiction. We're well down this path already.
Mm. Where is that balance between creating tech that does help us, like a pacemaker, like some of the other medical devices, like even, on a day-to-day basis, a smartphone, and being a little bit aware of what comes with that?
Yeah, so this is the major concern. I mean, one of the things that I always say myself, I've heard of a lot of people getting chips inserted into their hands to open doors. See, I think that's kind of crazy.
Didn't some guy in Melbourne do it with these train pass?
He did. And then he got taken to, they cancelled it because they said he didn't have the right from some form of copyright, which is sort of interesting and crazy, right? But then that raises the question, if you're putting someone else's technology inside you, who owns that technology? Mm. Who controls it? Does someone have access to the code or the off switch? But the thing is with people using these technologies just for convenience purposes, see, I can't see any upside in doing that. I mean, how hard is it really to open the door or use a key or use
a phone?
Well,
you're using a fob anyway, which is kind of very similar to
swiping a hand. Yeah.
Or a swipe pass,
exactly.
Which is just in the back of your phone.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a convenience thing, but imagine if all of a sudden you could get the cognitive ability of a smartphone inside your body everywhere you go. You're in a meeting for work and you forgot that thing and you can just quickly scroll through the smartphone in your head and get that piece of information or drop yourself into a Wikipedia page and just look super smart. Like, that would be the most ridiculous advantage in human society. And if that was capable, if we had a neural lace like Elon Musk is working on where you plug it into your brain, I mean, people would do it. There's no doubt. I mean, going beyond convenience, it's pretty hard to see that people wouldn't do that.
Is it choice that stops it becoming widespread? Because I guess we do have a choice at that moment. Some people are absolutely going to sign up and it's going to feel like a wonderful thing they can do. And other people are going to be like, yeah, I'm going to stick with my Nokia 3310 and live my life just making phone calls.
You know what I think? And this is crazy. I actually reckon there'll be a split in our species. If we look at the long arc of evolutionary history, we can see that all species evolved from another species. And for that to happen, certain tribes within that species need to make a different choice. Right? So the truth is humans were chimpanzees who made a choice to cross the savannah and become a bipedal species moving along, and others stayed in the trees. Right? And so what we'll have is we'll have a split in our species. We'll have neo-humans and neo-Luddites. Right? And so we're probably going to get this split where some choose to go down that evolutionary path where we put the technology in our bodies. And in all probability, we'll work out a way to breed where that technology is in our progeny as well. Mm. Right? So we need to think about how that will happen. And then even before that, we need to start thinking about, well, what if we have a future where you can't tell the difference between a human and a humanoid or a robot? Should robots have rights? I mean, that's a crazy question. But if you can't tell the difference, say, oh, I killed that robot. Oh, it's a person. Oh, I thought it was a robot. It's like it starts to put all these crazy ethical questions out there.
Well, and we are at a point where we are kind of asking our robots to be nearly human-like. Like, it's not widespread, but in the design labs, in what we're seeing, it's reflected in TV shows like Humans, which was on the ABC, which had live-in robots that looked incredibly like humans and then eventually started to take over, as it always does in science fiction. But we are asking them to be a lot like us.
We have this crazy obsession. We love ourselves so much that we have to make things that look and act like us. Seriously, humans are just, we're off the scale in terms of how much we love ourselves. And you know, it's in some way you think, gee, it might be our undoing, but we want things to look and act like us. And that's where it's going. So these humanoid robots, and the one we had in the intro, Sophia, is a lot like that as well. So you'll have machines that are robots and algorithms, but I think the future will be soft robotics, robots which look and act and are the same size as humans, but are just stronger and smarter. And so that's the way we'll do it, because we have to create robots that fit inside our world. Mm. Like, we've got to think about the buildings that we have, the things that we've done. Like, a robot has to look and be the same size of us for it to operate in the world that we've already built. Mm. So that's largely why that is. And also reduce the fear humans have of robots.
12 minutes away from 10 o'clock, you're on ABC Newcastle Mornings with Kaya Hanley. You're hearing from our regular futurist, Steve Sammartino, and we're talking the future of robots, of tech, of your life as well. We already have a lot of concerns around data, even just with the tech that we have now, Steve. Is this a big concern of the future?
Yeah, and in the intro, the thing that you mentioned there, us being hacked and our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, announcing that on Friday of last week and it being a big news item. This is why data is important. It's just so easy for us to say, oh, look, I'm not too worried about hacking. Look, if someone gets into my bank, the bank will look after me. They're responsible. Or, gee, yeah, I don't have any secrets. So I've got nothing to hide. They got my photos. Big deal. Mm. No, the data is going to enter our body. We have to be concerned at the moment because this is just the start of the internet. Every device is going to be connected, you know, everything around the world, our electricity grids, our house, and eventually the data will be under our skin. So we will become a hackable species. I mean, in some ways we already get hacked by social media where we get influenced to do things we don't want and, you know, that organizations get under our skin. But imagine when the technology is under your skin. We're going to start taking hacking seriously now before it gets real. Because eventually we'll become the world's first hackable species. And when you get hacked, 9 times out of 10, the person who's been hacked doesn't know it. Mm. So you might be doing something that you think you wanted to do, but someone's hacked you to make you want to do that. I mean, this might be a little bit into the future, but we have to take hacking seriously because it's not just that stuff on the screen. It's going to be our entire world, and it might even just be us as people as well.
It's sounding more and more like a Black Mirror episode the more that we talk, Steve. And we all know, anyone who's watched that, there aren't many happy endings in any of those episodes or TV shows because humans just kind of can't be trusted with this sort of power sometimes.
Well, that's the problem, is that you only need that, you know, 1, 3 or 5% of bad actors who can do something at scale, right? And that's what's interesting about technology. It's not like breaking one window where it's one person and one house. If you break into something, you know, one bad actor can break into a million things simultaneously. That's the difference with technology. And even though I don't want to be the Black Mirror guy, I love technology as much as anyone else. We need to view it in the same way that we view car safety or workplace safety. Unless we raise what the issues are now, then we won't have the wherewithal and that sense of future to make the reparations and the regulations and put them in place before we get there. And so I think that that's one little neurosis that humans have, which is great, is that we can think of like negative consequences and the dystopian future. And then we go, okay, all right, now that we've considered that, let's put these safeguards in place. And that's what we need to do, is think things through so that we get the safeguards in place so that we can have the good tech and maybe avoid some of the evil.
Maybe it's just me, but it does feel like that does feel like a television show, like that it's not as close to real life as possible, and the people who are thinking about it are the Elon Musks of the world, who we put in a bit of a obscure category in society of creator and that sort of stuff. What do you think the timeline could be for us seeing some of these things in our life?
Look, if we have to, this is where we have to remember that technology is non-linear. And what I mean by non-linear for the listeners is that it doesn't just improve at 3 or 5% a year. Computing technology doubles every 2 years its capability. There's all these accelerating laws of technology. So, you know, in 10 years, you don't get the normal 10 years of acceleration. You get 50 or 100 years of acceleration. So it's going to happen a lot quicker than people think. Probably within 20 years, I think that we'll have, maybe even less than that, 10, 12 years, we'll have brain-machine interfaces where we can plug into the internet. So this stuff's real, and it's coming soon, and it's coming quicker than we think.
Steve, I always walk away feeling a little bit afraid from our chats, but yeah, invigorated.
This is what we've got to do. This is the public service announcement so that we can all think about it, talk about it over dinner, and then we can implore our politicians to regulate in a way to keep us safe.
All right. Thank you for starting our Wednesday evening dinner conversation, Steve. We'll do it again in a fortnight's time. Steve Sammartino there, your regular futurist here on ABC Newcastle Mornings. It's interesting because it comes as I was reading a little earlier this morning, the bloke who created the Segway, he did very well with that. He hoped that it would replace cars. Maybe it hasn't quite gotten there. I've never ridden one. I've always wanted to, but I haven't quite gotten there. He's now looking at manufacturing human organs and says he wants to be at the forefront of that when we get there. Thanks to this text, who says 1960s Planet of the Apes had two species of humans. Evolved species had telepathy, wirelessly connected. Yeah, I think it has been a topic that has been played with in pop culture a lot, from TV shows to movies to books. Could it be a little bit closer than we like to imagine?